I'm going to record now because I'm remembering.
Oh, nice.
Because I forgot last time halfway through.
So why don't you go, do we need to do roll call?
Yeah, your 531.
Yep.
You want me to do a roll call?
Well, why not?
Chairman Doyle.
Here.
Director Cooper.
Here.
Director Phillips is absent.
Not present. Okay, so thank you for that. We got a quorum. Introduction of the guests, Cammie.
It looks like we have Pat Button and Christy Patterson.
Hey, welcome to both. We've got an approval of the agenda. Do we have to approve the agenda, or can I just move into public comment?
I think you can move into public comment.
All right, let's go right into it. We got public comment. Anybody raising their hand for this?
So yeah, let's just review if anybody needs to. Christy's raised her hand.
Christy's raised her hand.
Reaction, thumbs up, wave, or even it'll show up in the it'll show up in the participants section as well. So.
Okay.
Oh, and Raymond, it says, Raymond said he couldn't unmute himself, so.
Asked to unmute, hold on, there we go.
He should be able to.
I'm asking him to unmute.
Yeah, I texted a Kennedy said I was able to do now.
Okay.
Just...
All right. And then,
right.
I don't know about Christy, since she said she had something and I'm not sure why. It says to ask to unmute, but let's see.
Christy, you want to, are you raising your hand to have a public comment?
Let me unmute her. I technically should be able to unmute. Let's see.
There we go.
There we go.
Hey, sorry, I wasn't able to unmute myself. I just wanted to thank both Cammie and Mike and everybody at DID for helping getting our meter installed. And we are leak free and enjoying the pleasure of being able to shut off the water so we can continue with our construction. So I just wanted to thank everybody for taking care of us and getting that done.
That's very exciting, Christy. Thanks for the feedback on that. And I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, they were great. Kept us informed all the way along, so rarely had to reach out to both Cammie or, does it matter, Mike?
Mike.
I appreciate both of you guys. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad that it worked out and that you got all those leaks fixed inside the house.
Now the real work starts, huh?
Yeah, we've actually turned the corner from destruction to reconstruction, so wish us well.
Good, good.
All right.
Well, thanks for the feedback.
Thank you. I'm going to hop out. You guys have a good evening.
Okay.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That's it. Any other public comment? Any other hands raised? We got Pat. No, nothing from Pat.
I'm not seeing a hand raised.
All right.
Or anything.
Usually he's got something to say. You want to unmute him and double check? There we go.
There. Hi, Pat.
Hello. Yeah, I guess my concern is with the little bit of email that I sent you regarding Vina and the lopsided cost that we ratepayers are paying to get a seat at the table. Okay. How come the Chico ratepayers aren't paying $2 a month in membership and it just seems unnecessary that Durham is involved with Vina at all. You've got the County of Butte that can represent the unincorporated community of Durham, and you don't really need to have I've expressed it, and I just was wondering if you can justify why we're paying so much money to get a seat at the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. All right, that'll complete public comment.
I will note really quickly that it is an item under correspondence. So
we can talk about it then.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go on to no presentations. We got the consent agenda. Raymond, have you looked through the minutes for our July meeting and the August meeting, and also the financial report? Anything come up on that, and the bills as well?
I have doing July and August. I see no corrections. I would make a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
And I would second that. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Seeing none, let's go ahead and call for a vote.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
And Phillips is absent. Motion carries.
All right, let's, can we move on to item six?
Sure.
Items removed from the consent agenda, which was none. So we'll go on to item seven, go on to correspondence.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Do you wanna read this or should we go through it, or what do you wanna do, Cammie?
Well, you guys have the correspondence. I think since the correspondence involved Jeff a little bit and doing some explanation.
Pat has just presented his position. I responded. So I believe the directors are quite clear on what the issues are. If any director wishes to address those, fine. Pat's grievance is that we are paying equal membership fees of $5,000 a year that are being paid by all three members of the GSA, namely City of Chico and the County of Butte. He obviously feels that we're paying a disproportionate amount compared to them. He thinks that we should either pay a lesser amount or that we should maybe just drop out and let the county manage the GSA for us. Of course, the board has considered this long ago when we considered the options open to us and already made that decision. If anybody on the board wishes to bring it up, it probably ought to be calendared for another meeting. But at this time, I believe the statements of both the district through its attorney and of Pat Button have been made in writing.
I should also point out in the email correspondence, Mr. Benton did talk about that it was $2 a month, but it's not $1,000 a month. It's $5,000 for the year. So it is less than that per month per payer, rate payer. It's like 89 cents.
Okay. Well, I think we decided to get in. I don't think that's going to change. Raymond, do you have any changes in your thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
You might ask if there are any further comments by Pat.
We got a comment from Pat.
Yeah, just once again, let's just say it's just a dollar a month that we rich ratepayers pay to get a seat at the table. It should be noted that the district represents, what, fewer than 500 people in Durham, but the county of Butte represents the 4,000 other people of Durham. The district does not represent those people. The county represents those people, okay? And there'll come a time when there's going to be a conflict. Well, anyway, I just disagree with this. You could repair a lot of pipes with a measly $1,000 a month, okay? I'm done. You guys have your own way of thinking, and we'll just leave it at that.
OK. Okay, I don't see any need to change. There's not a, it's not a vote, right, Jeff? It's just a correspondence. No.
The acknowledgement of his letter and the fact that we responded to it.
Okay, let's go on to 7.1b, which is a certificate to initiative petition signature verification and signature verification results. Cammie, do you have anything on this?
This was in response to Mr. Benton's initiative that he filed and collected the signatures necessary for it to be a initiative on the ballot. And I think Jeff had previously said it wouldn't be until like 2022. Uh-huh. So it was just confirming that they had received the appropriate number of signatures. They needed like 91 or something, and he had 103. And so that's what this packet represents. It also includes the language from the initiative in there and what it was proposing. I'm sure you guys have reviewed it. There are certain things that aren't accurate in terms of it mentions revenue bonds and some other things which we don't have. So I'm going to let Jeff kind of take it from there if he wanted to add to it.
I discussed at the last meeting in detail petition and the proposed language is misleading and false. The board basically decided to table it, and so I have nothing more to add at this time.
Okay. So we have, really, it's just correspondence information. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yes.
Mr. Benton does have, it has raised his hand.
Okay, before we get to that, Raymond, do you have any comment on the correspondence or no?
I don't at this point.
Okay. I guess we'll open it up for public comment.
Yeah, first off, the number of signatures, I have quite a few more at home. It was just I didn't see any point in piling in more than I had to. So there are quite a few more people that are in favor of that. I would like to point out, I don't know whether Jeff's expertise for the law or whatever, but I do have in section 4, if any provision of this measure or the application thereof to any person or circumstance is held invalid, that invalidity shall not affect the other provisions or applications, and to this end, the provisions and measures are severable. Okay, now, you might pick apart one or two that I've said, but, it doesn't change anything. And I think that Jeff kind of hit the nail on the head when he said that it's political now, okay? And we'll just leave it at that. I have nothing more to say.
Okie dokie. Anything else we need to talk about on that, Jeff, or are we good?
No.
Okay. Let's go to 7.2, change of the regular board meeting date. We've requested to adopt the resolution changing the meeting date for the regular meeting of the board of directors from second Tuesday of each month to the third Tuesday of each month. I got your resolution here. I guess we can, if Raymond has any comment on that, if he sees any issues, or have we done everything according to the law to get this, to move this forward?
Yes, Chair Doyle, we have published the proposed resolution twice in the Chico Enterprise Record in two consecutive weeks as required. So now the only matter that has to be done is you have to consider whether or not you wish to move and approve the resolution changing meeting, which I provided in your board materials.
Okay, we've done everything appropriate. Raymond, any concern on your side? If not, you okay with making a motion on this one?
Sure. I would make a motion that we adopt the meeting change as stated.
Okay, I second that. We can open it up for public comment now.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why you want to go through with all this. There's no indication that Kevin's going to, you're making these adjustments for Kevin. There's no guarantee he's going to show up at these meetings anyway. He missed so many meetings already. I don't see any point in changing the, it's not going to change anything. So, all right.
We got a motion on the floor in a second.
I might want to ask Cammie to check one thing. I may have made an error in the resolution. Is the third Tuesday of October? Can you check your calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Third Tuesday, indeed, the 20th.
Well, let me check here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. I was correct. I somehow woke up at 3 a.m. last night thinking that maybe I'd put this on.
Well, because you start doing some math, which it doesn't make sense. There's 7 days, and how can the third Tuesday be a 20? But
I just simply say it was probably old age more than anything else.
Well, it looks like you got the right date on there. We've got a motion and a second. Cammie, you want to go ahead and call a roll call?
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Director Phillips is absent. Ayes carry. Can you remind me who made the first and second on that?
Raymond made the motion to approve, and Matt seconded.
And I'll sign this the resolution, Cammie, and bring it to you. Drop it in the mail slot, or bring it by later tonight or tomorrow.
Oh yeah, bring it by when you. I have one that I've printed out, but yeah, either way.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Let's go to the next item, temporary change in district office hours. Cammie, what do you got on this one?
So this is a request for me. I didn't want to just change the hours without discussing it with you all. With my son being at home during the mornings for school and needing to be on Zoom, there's been some mornings where I needed to come into the where I usually would be here at 9 and just needing to make sure that he is up and running on Zoom and engaging for the first 3 hours of the morning. It would be great if I could adjust the hours to the afternoon on Thursdays, just temporarily until hopefully when they go back to school. So, and if I can be here, I'll be here earlier, but knowing that I can for sure be here in the afternoon, just a little flexibility there.
It seems like there's a lot of people adjusting their times because of this stay-at-home schooling. And so I understand. I don't think it would affect anything on the operation of the board. As far as the district goes, I'm sure Mike will have it covered during the day, and anything that's outstanding, you'd get to in the afternoon, right? I don't see a big problem with that.
Yeah.
What kind of foot traffic would you expect on a normal Thursday morning?
Usually there's just maybe one or two people who pay cash during that third week, second or third Thursday, that pay cash for on their bill. But they also typically call beforehand. So I'll just remind them this time around to call and check our hours.
I sure don't see a problem with it. I'll make a motion to approve that.
I will second.
All right. Any public comment, Pat?
No.
Okay. Cammie, you want to call for a vote?
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Phillips is absent. Ayes carry.
All right. So do you want to send out a little note on that via the Facebook page and everything?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. It's a good idea just so everybody knows.
Yeah, I'll update the website, something on Nextdoor, and then Facebook and I'll post a new sign.
Sounds great. All right, item 7.4, conflict of interest code. What do we got on this one?
This came out of the county's request to update, it's what the biennial conflict of interest code, and we had adopted one in 2017, and there were some notes of updating it in 2018, but I could not find anywhere where we had actually done that or approved that. So just kind of updating the conflict of interest code documentation so that we can send it off to the county.
If I may add, we adopted the previous one in 2018. Every 2 years we need to adopt it or show that there's no change required. So we had our previous code in place. And then this year there were some slight changes in the references to the government code. So those were the only changes made that were incorporated in the new one. Instead of saying that we've updated the old one, I just said we've amended it, restated it in its entirety. So it's basically the same code we had previously and previously prior to that and prior to that and prior to that. But this time it made the requisite changes necessitated by changes in the government code.
Now, is this also, Jeff, what's that form we fill out? We get that form 800 or whatever?
It is a form that you have to fill out disclosing your investments in the within the boundaries of the district. And that's done once a year. That's usually due by April. So that is consistent with this. This conflict of interest code does make certain that we fill out that financial investment form. And it indicates everybody who has to do it.
Okay.
And that would be on the... that would be on the exhibit to it. So if you'll look at exhibit B, attachment mm-hmm. B, it'll indicate the disclosure categories and the person affected by it.
Attachment B, okay, page 2, right. Huh? Okay.
So it'll be business as usual, no change.
Okay. So it doesn't look like it's asking for a signature or anything. So it's just we're amending and approving the new. So this is the 2020 version.
Yes.
I don't see a date on here. Is that
we let me put a date and a signature on it, and let's go ahead and adopt a resolution, and I will prepare a resolution to attach to it.
Yeah, if we put a date on it, then we'll remember when we did it and who did it. All right. I'll make a motion to approve the amended conflict of interest code.
I will second it.
Okay. Any public comment?
I don't see any.
Seeing none, let's go ahead and ask for a vote.
Chairman Doyle?
Aye.
Director Cooper?
Aye.
And Phillips is absent. Motion carried.
So then on that one, Jeff, we'll just wait for your amendment with the signature and date on it, and I can swing by the office and do that.
I'll shoot it out to all the directors and to you, and you can sign it when you get it. It'll be that, but it'll be attached to a resolution.
Sounds great. All right, next one, yeah.
Before we leave there, I was just gonna ask if we were gonna do any of the ethics training, or are we up to do that on online on our own? Or I didn't know, Jeff, if you were doing another one.
I will do it. We can set aside 2 hours to do the ethics training, and since Cammie's an employee, we can also attach the 2 hour sexual harassment, and we can do that by December, and hopefully we'll have a break where we can do it in person. But if not, we'll do it on a Zoom meeting.
I will also note there is an online one that the Vina GSA board will be They don't have to take it, but at our at the next Vina GSA board meeting tomorrow, it's an item on the agenda. So I will be sending a link to board members as well. So if you guys wanted to do an online, it's a free online version, we can also do that as well.
And that's for the ethics or for the sexual harassment?
For the ethics.
Okay. I think the Cal Chamber also has a sexual harassment one. I don't know if we can use that one, but that seems like a good possibility. I've used it before.
There are so many that are available, and I would not be offended whatsoever if you chose somebody else. I do it as just a public service to my districts without charge. So if you would prefer to have it in person with me or by Zoom with me, I'd be more than happy. But if you also want to do it on your own time at home, maybe getting up every now and then and going to the kitchen, that would be understandable too.
You know what, Jeff, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. I didn't know you taught that. So no, absolutely. We will take it through you. I was confused on that one. So no, my bad. No, we've got a solution. So we'll use you. That's fine with me. Sorry good. About that.
Tammy can coordinate it with me and we can find a date that works with all three of you. Yes. Of course, Kevin probably is getting this through the town of Paradise, so he may not need it, but if he wants to set in too, he can as well.
Okay, so if we do it through work, do we bring in our certificate, and is that acceptable, or do we have to?
That is acceptable. I will issue a certificate, and I might even bring cookies and coffee in too.
Well, I'm going to go to your class.
I did notice, Matt, that if you're opening it up for any public comments,
Before I get off this, so Raymond, did we answer all your questions on that?
Yeah, I just knew you have done that in the past for all your clients. I didn't really expect you to do it for us solely. I prefer in person rather than online, but
I have tied it together. In the past, you're right, Raymond. I've tied it in the past with, for example, Thermalito or Chico Area Recreation District. If I can, I'll do that, but I have no hesitation in doing it. It's almost more fun with the fewer people there because nobody's embarrassed about asking questions.
Yeah, okay. Well, if Matt's up for it and you're up for it, I mean, I prefer the in-person.
We'll set a date and we'll do it.
Okay.
Okay, so on 7.4, you need an action? Do we need a vote on this?
Well, you already adopted the resolution, and we kind of segued into a topic, indirect topic, and it appears that Mr. Benton has a comment. I don't know.
Okay, so did we adopted the.
But
we can reconsider. Let's hear from Mr. Benton.
Okay.
I just want to mention that the California Association of Special Districts has several training programs, including one on ethics. And Mr. Phillips actually has completed one and has a certificate that was done a few years ago. I don't know whether it's still valid or not. Just thought I'd mention it.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I guess we're good on that one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Cammie, did we vote on this one?
Yes, we did vote on it.
Okay, good.
What it was the conflict of interest code that kind of transitioned to an ethics discussion. But we did adopt the resolution for the conflict of interest code. So,
all right, let's go on to 7.5, policies and procedures document.
This document isn't anything new. We've looked at mostly different formats, and so I think the last time we looked at it a few months ago, I had incorporated Jeff's edit or draft into more of a kind of a manual format. I won't even say user friendly, it's the same, it's just the verbiage is the same. So in the draft that you have, all of the purple text is Jeff's original text that he had prepared, and then all of the stuff that is just black ink is just the headings and things that were from various templates that I had pulled from. This was started by Kristen and Allie a year ago, so just wanting to be able to have it in a table of contents, easy to reference and check. So the policies are what we looked at before, and it's mostly just about billing and not shutting off water, or when we do shut off water, what that looks like, and different charges and things like that.
So have you, on the fees and charges, it seems like that was looks like it was adopted back in 2015.
Yeah, so in the previous version, I didn't have that, those fees and charges. I found them in some of the older paperwork. So I included those in this version. And then we have a list, which I presented last time, of other charges, fees that are charged for to customers. These some are from Thermalito, some are from maybe PID, South Feather. And so most of them, like the administrative and engineering fees, could just probably be costs of either the consultant or the contractor providing that. So we can add in some of those, but at least we do have the ones that were adopted in 2015.
Well, for what I was wondering, like on item 7.3, you have a service call charge. And then, so on our form here, it doesn't have a fee on it.
Right.
So I'm wondering, are we adopting, should we fill out the fees and complete this? So that we know what we're charging?
I think this is just a draft right now. I think it would be appropriate for the board, with Kevin present, to spend some time looking at it. We can make certain from our side that you have the right fee structure.
Yeah.
I see that we're referring to 2019 rate on it. And
well, it says that each year's increase.
Okay. So we want to clarify that the rates are for the 2020 and 2000. So I think it's a very, very good start, and I was impressed. I have to say that, and not because she's sitting right next to me and Brent's hitting if I don't, but because I think it really was for the first time a darn good effort to put together an entire policy manual that can be pulled from a shelf and copied and sent to people or referred to for meetings. But I think we do need to spend some time going over it, and maybe set aside time at the next meeting to have a thorough discussion about it.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. I think it's a good one. I think if anything, this is going to be kind of a hot button that we should really kind of look at and talk about when you're talking about, you know, somebody comes in and it's $25 to come look at something. I think we got to make sure that they're competitive, that those are the right fees that other people are charging, and that they were, you know, they're somewhat similar to other districts. And you're right, because this is what people tend to get, you know, passionate about if they're getting charged for something, is, you know, is that the policy? So spend a little extra time here and getting some feedback from other districts would be good.
Yeah, and just comparing them as well, in that what some of those rates are. I think one of the, and as well as the differences between our district and others, you know, when we have to go read a meter for a demand request for an escrow, it's a little different because that's, you know, our operator isn't here, you know, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that means Mike either has to come back. And so, you know, considering the hourly charge of that,
is a little different than someone like Thermalito that has a meter reader on staff that's there 40 hours a week. So different things like that as well to consider.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And then we've got to make sure, you know, we're consistent with everything and make sure that if we are charging $5 or $10 or $25 for something, that's our policy, that's what we do. So consistency on these things is important as well.
And then having something, I think too, the other thing that we had talked about is we can adopt the language and the policy and then update the fee schedule regularly based on what we're actually, the cost is. And so that way we're not having to readopt the policy every time, we can just update the fees.
Well, I read through it. I mean, it sounds good to me. Raymond, did you get a chance to look through it? Did you have any questions on it? I mean, a lot of this stuff we probably have talked about charging for or doing in the past, but this really puts it out there and puts it in front of everybody as the way we're going to go about things.
Right. I did look through it. You know, Cammy, one thing that I noticed, we specify that our meters will read in the cubic foot unit of measure. We may mm-hmm. want to put in some verbiage in there that, like an either or, in case we go to a meter that reads gallons or something.
Okay.
So we don't have to.
In what, like in the, where it talks about reading the meters?
Yeah, like section 7.4. I mean, we okay. could put in, they'll be measured, the cubic foot will be the unit of measure or gallons or okay. some other, you know, definitive, just to give us a little flexibility.
Okay.
The thing I had, a question I had was on the billing period. I think it's 7.7E. It says the bill is due and payable the day it is received. If late, is unpaid in full by 5 p.m. on the 15th day of the month. We've had some people accrue some pretty large, well, I guess haven't paid for a while. Are we charging
a late fee?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anything past the 15th gets a late fee attached to it, and that is that's going out consistently?
Yes.
Okay.
I did, there was some inconsistencies on some of the language, which I think is what we've had historically, but it seemed different than what our actual practice is, so I made them consistent with the practice of bills, when bills go out and when we consider them late, so.
One, another thing we talked about was the delinquent balance on an assessment lien. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that. Jeff had some information on that. If I remember correctly, we can't go after the tenants. We have to lien the property. Is that correct?
Yes. If you recall, we decided that in light of the changes in the law that put tremendous burdens on the district, to disconnect service, really the best thing to do would be just to continue to provide water, and realize that if the bill isn't paid by June 30 of each year, then we can revert to the assessment process and put an assessment through the tax assessor's office on the property, which is paid immediately by the tax assessor, and then the assessment appears on the next tax bill for the property. So that is the that was a decision we made. Frankly, if you recall, the billing, the laws affecting billing and disconnection of water service not only were draconian from the standpoint of what needed to be done before you could disconnect water service, but from a simpler standpoint, they required that our website be in 5 different languages, and our billing policy be in 5 different languages. So we noticed that a number of districts, including Thermalito Water and Sewer District and Paradise Irrigation District, likewise had chosen not to disconnect the water service for non-payment anymore, and in fact have relied on the assessment powers given the irrigation district under the law.
It's a pretty lengthy process for somebody to demonstrate financial need that they, and so there's a bunch of paperwork that goes along with it. I looked into it and it just seemed extensive for the, not the tenant, but as well as the district.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy with that. So do you want to move forward with approving the policy, but not the rate schedule? Do we want to do a little, or should we just wait on both, or what's your proposal?
My recommendation would be to wait on both and to do it when we have Kevin present and able to weigh in on it. This is for the first time the district is going to have written policy, and I think it's important. And this will give us the springboard, if you will, to consider more frequent changes as necessary based on either our practices and procedures or the law. So I think getting a good policy in place right by the end of this year would be darn good. And so I would suggest that we just table action on this until the next meeting and can spend the time at the next meeting to really focus on this, including not only the policies, but also the rate structure. Not the rate structure, but the fees and charges for the various activities that we are performing.
And Matt, to go along with your earlier comment, and I'll just make sure that all of the references to certain fees and charges are consistent with what's listed in the back, or maybe we'll just either rename something or just have that consistency as well.
Yeah, perfect.
And I could also create a table to show what other districts are charging for some of those, and we can discuss the differences between Durham and something like Thermalito, you know, with staffing, and so we can talk about if the cost is really applicable and what they're basing it on, or what we should be basing ours on.
Yep, I think that sounds great, Cammie. So we'll go ahead and table that until we are all able to take a look at that and maybe keep that on the agenda for next month.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Item 7.6, standard conditions of approval.
This is based on, later on I talk about trying to get on the county's e-Trackit system so that we can avoid, people getting building permits or parcel maps approved without consulting with the district when they're in our boundaries. And so we did receive a request for a parcel map, which is just the addition of one new parcel within the Black Diamond subdivision. And they wanted a will serve letter. And based on some of the things that we have done in the past, for example, with Black Diamond, we had conditions of approval. And I think some of those could be streamlined into just a policy of what we'll do, what the will serve, what the expectations are in terms of repayments, what the district would charge for some of those things, and then also just have those standard conditions of approval. And then what I could do is if we adopt this policy, I could also send it to Environmental Health, to Butte County Planning and Building, so that they know we have a policy. So even if they don't want to put us in their Trackit, we can at least say, this is our policy, this is what we charge, and have something to kind of fall back on.
I think this is a phenomenal idea. I think this is some of the things we've been missing. I think, especially not being in the system, not having a seat at the table, which it looks like we might have now. But just in general, I think this will clear up any misconceptions about what we do, and also what they're responsible to do as well, which is pay the fees.
Yeah, well, and even as something as, and I was thinking today, too, even as something as simple as just a parcel map, which is four fewer parcels, it still takes, you know, the application coming in, it's me looking at it, and then sending it off to Jeff to determine if we need a developer, a development agreement, and then sending it off to Mark Adams as our engineer to review what we might need in terms of plans. And that at least is a minimum of an hour of everybody's, each of our time. And so to know that at as a base, to have a fee of X amount that we'll charge to even get it started. Because I could have easily spent, you know, an hour on answering the county's request. And so it's great if it's already in place and it's just, here's what you're gonna have to pay for, and to have a application process for that.
On your Exhibit A, are those the prices that you're proposing on there, or are those up for discussion?
Matt, if I can respond, I revised the policy and sent it out. I don't know if you all had a chance to receive it, but it was this morning. And the fee schedules that I proposed were much higher. I thought those were the ones on the original. And I don't know if you're looking at the revised
Exhibit A.
I'm looking at the original, Jeff. I'm sorry, I didn't print yours out. But I would agree with you that $50 and $500 doesn't get you very far these days. So I think that those need to be probably brought up to 2020 standards. But I will take a look at your version.
You know, if you were to walk into the county and say that you were going to build on a parcel, the first thing the county would do would give you kind of a checklist of what you needed to do, one of which was to pay them right then and there X dollars to have them even look at your application and act upon it. So that's, we've got to think smarter. We can't be front loading any work that we're doing for customers, whether they're a large developer customer or whether they're a person who's just building a new home on a new lot here within the district. We need to recapture all our fees for doing that.
Okay, excellent. I'll take a look at that. But I think this is a great idea, and it serves as a indication of our seriousness when it comes to people who are developing within the district, that we need the fees in order to survive and continue, and they need to be aware of that. So I guess now that we have the original, Jeff, you have a version out. Should we take a look at that and come back at the next meeting and put that on the next agenda? Or are we ready to
go? Yes, I think both these items, both 7.5 and 7.6, ought to be on the next month's agenda. And we ought to come prepared to roll up our sleeves and do what we need to finalize them and get them adopted.
So Raymond, incorporate Sorry. Jeff's comment.
Yeah, so, go ahead, Cammie. Sorry.
I'll incorporate Jeff's comment. Is that right? Okay.
Raymond, do you have any comment on this one?
No, I agree with that. Just came.
Okay.
Yeah. Any public comments, Matt?
Yeah, any public, Pat, do you have a comment?
I'm not seeing any.
It's about contractors, so I'm sure. I thought he'd have a comment. Okay. All right, let's move on to item 8.0, the water operations business. Mike, you still on with us?
You'll have to, not letting.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, we got you.
Yeah, I'm here. It was a smooth month. We got the Patterson's fixed, and then the Goodspeed and Brown repair done. It was a little bit of a bear, but we got it done. One thing we didn't get done was the valve across the street. We just kind of ran out of daylight, and we're going to schedule that for another day. But the main one that was leaking, that was causing all of the issues with water, you know, building up over there at Goodspeed and Brown, was replaced. And when I was passing out notices, I did notice a few things, and I wanted to possibly discuss like what the procedures are for identifying like potential health hazards and abuse of flat rate customers, you know, abusing their water usage. I don't know if the district has any policy in citing customers for that, but
what did you
go ahead.
I
found a one customer. They had a garden hose hooked up to a like one of those water coolers, and it was moldy, or I'm sorry, it had a bunch of algae on it, but it was just leaking profusely, and their entire lot was flooded. So this was clearly has been going on for some time. And I don't know the procedures for identifying or like in that kind of situation, do I just knock on the door, or do we have to write a formal letter?
Or we tell them we're putting a meter in.
Yeah, well, that was the next thing is, you know, if we were to put in a meter, it might, incentivize them to be more conservative with their water use. And
yeah, that's part of our transition, obviously, over time. But I wonder if we can step some of these ahead to the front of the line, Cammy, or do we take it street by street? I mean, obviously, is there a notice? Have you ever seen a notice for gross usage or whatever we called it?
Well, I will say that in the samples with the policies, the sample list of potential fees is there is a wasteful use fee for non-compliance related. So, it depends for the amount of water that Mike had noticed on that particular site. There's probably also a nuisance issue with vector control. I would imagine that's how much water was there. It's just like pooling. So we might also do some research to see if it's actually the landowner that's living in the home, or if it's rented, because the landowner, I think portions of the foundation are kind of sitting in water. So there might be some issues from that perspective as well. So I think I don't know if we've ever done, and Raymond might be able to weigh in, if we've ever done kind of a wasteful use
notice.
But the whole idea with meters is to avoid wasteful use of water. That's the whole point of it.
I don't think we've ever actually sent out a formal letter, but I think we've had some conversations
on the door,
that type of thing in the
background. So if we were just to switch them to a meter, what is that, can we do that?
Well, I think the main issue is just getting on the property. I mean, it's literally a swamp on their property, and you can't really tell because the property is so overgrown unless you walk up to, you know, the door and you see what's kind of going on. But he would have to clear out the lot before I could even find where the box is at, if they even have a service connect, like a box there. But it's going to be a little bit of a process if we do want to put in a meter, because it's the whole lot is flooded, is the entire foundation of the home has water pooling around it. And then, you have, grass kind of just flourishing there because of the excessive water being used. And, it's probably about 4 or 5 feet high.
Jeez.
The grass is. So And it's like, it's a jungle. So I'm not really sure how to proceed, but I did want to bring it to the board's attention because it's probably something that we should kind of investigate a little bit more, because it is a potential health hazard. If we do lose pressure for any reason, everything that's on his side that's connected to that AC is going to get sucked into the line. And I'm not really comfortable with that. So
it essentially needs a backflow.
Yeah, he needs at least a minimum. He needs an anti-siphon hose bib at the connection, which is a lot cheaper than having him put in a backflow. It's like $3, but he needs to have one present. That way, if there's a loss of pressure, there will be a vacuum break, and we'll have a little bit of protection for the main.
Maybe we could draft a letter state to that effect initially, talking from the public health and safety standpoint.
Yeah, that could work.
Could we?
I think maybe we need to notify environmental health.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
We'll start there, I guess.
Yeah, I would recommend that we go straight to environmental health.
Okay.
All right. What else, Mike? Anything else?
No, that was it. R&R did an outstanding job in getting that Goodspeed and Brown valve job done, and yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah.
Excellent. Well, good work. Good job on that repair. That's glad to see that was that went well.
Yeah.
I know this is all for informational purposes. I will note that Pat has raised his hand.
All right, let's go ahead and hear from Pat.
Yeah, I just want to comment that I had talked to the vector control people about this problem down there, and there didn't seem much that they wanted to be able to do about it. Okay, but that's one point. There's another point too, and we'll just talk briefly about Durham Commons, where you have 1 meter and 32 customers. Let's just say one of those 32 customers was abusing their whatever and causing some sort of problem. Eventually in 2025, when we're all required to have meters, is Durham Commons also going to have to be required to have 32 meters for their 32 users, or are they going to have some sort of special break?
It's the way that it works, and I guess someone can correct me, it's one parcel, so one parcel, 1 meter. If the apartment complex wanted to meter each of the units separately, and they could on the property.
Yeah, I believe we already have a design for that that meter and backflow on that property. Didn't we get that designed?
I don't know.
Durham Commons. Yeah, I just thought it was unusual that you see Durham Commons and they have 1 meter, and then just a block or so next to them, they've got a 12-unit apartment house with 12 meters. And I'm wondering why one was one way and one was done another way. Maybe some special deal was made, or
I honestly don't know the answer to that.
Uh-huh.
I could look into it in terms of the years that it was done, but right now our policy is one parcel, 1 meter. So
okay, so then on the little triplex that was built down there, Goodspeed, there are 3 meters there, not one, right?
I would have to look at
the above your pay grade. Okay, all right.
Well, I don't know all the places by name, and I enter all the meters.
Step in here for when we're talking about Goodspeed, are we talking about Goodspeed Commons, or is it Durham? I'm not aware of Durham Commons. Are we talking about the
I don't know, Mike. Let's move on. I think we've got kind of sidetracked. I think we're done with this one. So appreciate the update on your side. What else? 8.2. What else do we have on that one?
The 8.2, we had the Butte County Midway Sidewalk Improvement Project. It's my understanding that the county is talking about doing some, and Raymond, correct me if I'm wrong, some sidewalk improvements on the Midway, which Mike also talked to Drew a little bit, because there are, I think, some issues or some leaks or some historic uses with the Durham Beautification Committee. And so we might want to do some coordination with the county. I don't know their timeline on the sidewalk improvement project, but I do know that we just want to keep it on our radar in terms of the beautification committee has drug a hose from somewhere to water the trees, and there's a leak somewhere in a box. PG&E box, I believe. So maybe Mike can correct.
I can give an update on this. I'm working with Dennis on getting this done. I've marked off an area where there's a, you can kind of identify leaks under concrete just based off of how the concrete is broken. So if it's sinking, that means that there's erosion going on there, which is a clear good sign that there's a pipe leak there. And I identified the area because we opened up the boxes and there's no pipes going into those boxes. but I found where the pipe kind of runs along, and I can, you know, you can clearly just see how the sidewalk has kind of crumbled, that there's a pipe leak there. So I've marked it off, and they're going to go ahead and start working on that and getting it exposed at some point in the future. But Dennis is, he the ball's in his court.
Is that Dennis Schmidt?
I believe so. I'm terrible with last names.
Okay, but at the but county.
Public Works. So.
Yeah, Schmidt.
Yeah.
They didn't give a timeline?
And I don't know that it's perfect just yet, but with the new supervisor coming in, I know that there's some interest, and I think that's kind of where this started was
Didn't hear that last part, Raymond, very well.
I just said I think this kind of stems from our new supervisor coming in and you wanting to kind of get an update on what's going on. I don't know that the sidewalk project has legs yet. I can check in on that a little bit more, but I think they're just trying to do a little diligence and what things are involved with it and how we fit into that puzzle.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that Mike's been out there, though.
Yeah. That's good to know. And what you said, no response from Horn as far as a timeline?
Art on Horn or?
Yeah.
I haven't spoke to R&R Horn regarding that. Dennis said that was his jurisdiction. When we last spoke, he said that he was going to assume responsibility for getting that exposed. And then, you know, we'll kind of coordinate. Because it's the leak itself, it's on the customer side. It's not anything that has to do with the districts, how we run pipes or anything like that. This is a customer ran service line to those, but it's a really old one. According to one of the beautification members, that it's probably been there a good 30 years. So, but it does come off of the bar service connection, I believe, when I looked at it. So Public Works basically said that they were going to investigate it. They just wanted me to mark off the area where the leak was at.
Excellent.
Okay.
Sounds good. Anything else, Mike, on those?
Nope.
The fire hydrant testing program, did you mention that?
Oh, yeah. I think that maybe at some point in the future, it might be a good idea to implement maybe like a quarterly or semi-annually hydrant flushing program. And the only reason I say this is as we do these valve repairs, every time we depressurize a line, any sediment that's been sitting in that line for a number of years is lifted up into the customer's homes. And I respond to, you know, a few complaints regarding, you know, no water flow at their sink. And typically what it is just unscrewing an aerator because of the sediment buildup on their side. But, you know, if it could cause, you know, I could see different scenarios where, you know, you can't really just unscrew an aerator, you know, and you'd have to like undo like an angle stop valve inside a home, and it just gets a lot more messy. And I just want to keep the customers happy. So I figured that a good way to do that is to, you know, start flushing the hydrants. But I kind of want to discuss that, maybe get something, I don't know, when, I don't know, and paperwork, because I don't want to buy the equipment if we're not going to, you know, do it, because I will have to buy some gear just to divert water flow. There's some areas of Durham that don't have any good runoff. And if I were to just open up a hydrant, I'd be flooding people's yards, which is unacceptable. So I you know, I like to implement the program, but I need equipment for it. And before I buy the equipment, I kind of want to, an okay that we'd, you know, maybe consider doing that, or maybe we could just discuss it later.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I drive by these hydrants all the time. They look 500 years old, and it'd be nice to know that they actually work.
Yeah. I haven't had any issues with any hydrants at all, especially the older ones. They all are functioning to my knowledge, but you know, when I do a repair and then I open up the main, there's quite a bit of sediment that comes, or the hydrant, there's quite a bit of sediment that comes out, and that I know it's not from, you know, the repair that was made. It's from years of buildup. And that's kind of what's going up into people's homes whenever we repressurize a line.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I had to do that in my kid's bathroom this weekend. One of my son's sinks in the bathroom wasn't flowing. So I unscrewed it and it was all, so our neighborhood's fairly new compared to some of the other ones. So I would imagine it's pretty bad in those spots.
Yeah.
It also speaks to, I don't know if you recall, but I think it was several months ago where the, might even have been last fall, where the Cal Fire, the fire department, what, county fire, or one of the fire people was, they contacted us about wanting our fire hydrant testing information because for insurance purposes, and we don't have it. So they used to do all the testing, the flow tests, and now they don't. So it's up to us to do it.
I think maybe Mike, to the next meeting, bring a proposal on what it would cost to get the equipment needed, and let's take a look at moving forward with that.
Okay, I can do that.
Pat, you have a comment?
Pat has public comment too. If Raymond doesn't. I'll unmute Raymond.
No. Raymond, any comment from your end?
No, I think that that's a great idea, Mike. I think that was something that's sorely lacking with what we got going on.
Okay.
Public?
Pat?
No, I'm just thinking, rather than going out and buying something, maybe you could talk to the fire department or the county and see whether that equipment that you might want to buy, you can borrow from the fire department or public works.
I don't think that they'll have that kind of equipment. They have attachments for filling up their rigs, but as far as flushing hydrants, that's not, I don't think that's really a part of their, it's on the operator. It's the operator's responsibility for those kind of things. So,
well, the fire department used to do that. But okay. All right. I guess it's not the job anymore.
Just to clarify, the fire department, they don't do it anymore because of liability reasons. So it's on us. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good, Mike. Thank you very much for the update.
Thank
Let's go on to item 9. Jeff, any update on your side?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Cammy, the manager's report.
Just a couple things to throw out there. Our website software, Streamline, we've talked about engaging the public more and trying to get emails, one for notifications of emergency repairs, and doing a newsletter. Our website does have a function called Engage. It adds a little bit to the cost of our regular monthly fee, but it does allow us to collect emails where people can actually subscribe to if we did a regular newsletter, or so they could also subscribe to different lists. We can have different topics such as emergency repairs and notifications, meeting dates, workshops, and people can subscribe. So I just wanted to put it out there that we have that capability. It's $40 to add it onto our monthly amount. I think it was $40, so it would just be $115, I think, for us to do that. I'm trying to do some math in my head, which isn't always good. So it was something for you guys to think about, that we could engage the public more by using the software. And then we could have regular newsletter, email newsletters, and it allows you to easily, anything that we post, we can select to be part of an email newsletter as well.
I think that might be a, you know, it costs a lot to send newsletters and do the other thing. I think $40 is probably pretty reasonable to be able to get our content out and have a way to distribute that. You know, putting it in the mailbox would probably cost us $200 a month. So,
I kind of agree in that. Mike having to do the door hangers, and just looking at all of the recent alerts, like with PG&E shutting off power, it's all via email and phone. And I think if we could utilize technology to that level, would be amazing. So
I think it's a good idea.
I can get some more information if you guys need, or some examples.
Yeah, please do. Okay.
All right. The next thing on the list was Metron Farnier. So a gentleman came and spoke, gave me some information about some smart water meters and systems that could be read remotely. Actually, they use the Verizon phone network, and the cost was I thought really inexpensive in comparison. So the meters were, I think, $350 for each meter, but then you wouldn't have to go out and read them. It would send it the information remotely via Verizon, and then it goes straight to a software program, and people could monitor their usage. We could tell if there was a leak, all sorts of different things. It was pretty fascinating. They also have a financing component. So I was hoping to perhaps schedule the sales rep is willing to give a presentation to the board via Zoom and show you all the functions of it. And I thought, as we start looking and utilizing our grant funds for smart meters, which is what it was for, smart meters and equipment to be able to even monitor our wells, I thought we should start looking into various options. And so I wanted to have him give a presentation. Also, I talked to Mike about it a little bit. Mike is all, he's very cautious, and he wanted to do some research too about the company, how long it's been around. I know in the past when I've worked with smart meter companies, the biggest concern is you want to make sure that they're going to be around in 5 or 10 years. So that if you need system upgrades and things like that, that the company is still around. So I'd like to schedule that where he can give some kind of presentation and tie it into just looking into the equipment, different equipment for our using our grant funds.
I like that idea. I think a presentation would be nice. I'd like to see it.
Okay.
Raymond, you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we kind of talked a little bit about the eTrackIt, which I think will solve some of the problems if we have a policy in place and just kind of start that communication with environmental health and the county planning and building departments as well. So we'll just keep on them.
So that's part of our, what's this thing called? Our
the will serve letter and
policy. The will serve. Mm-hmm. Good. I think that's a good start at making sure we're covered. We make sure we're notified, and also that everybody understands what they need to do. So I think it's a good plan.
Yeah. One other thing, it's not on the agenda, it's just informational, but I did open the mail today, and the state water boards has approved our timeline for the replacement of our lead user service line, our unknown lines. Mm-hmm. So all of that work that Mike and I did, and we submitted our timeline, so it's approved. So now
nice.
We can talk about a plan for getting funding for different things. But
Now we got to do it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, now we got to do something.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then another letter that we got from the Butte County Special Districts about, if you recall, it's the election results for the nominations for special district alternates, enterprise or non-enterprise, and Larry Bradley from Durham Recreation and Park District was elected the special district alternate.
Nice.
Yeah, and so we'll have some other correspondence that just came in today for on next month's agenda.
It also asked, Jeff's second email was about recommendations for another deal.
Yeah, for the LAFCO Commission, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Enterprise representative, district representative, and that could be any one of you directors who might want to go on that.
So I was going to put that on the agenda for next month. It's not due until November.
November.
It's usually the person that's not here that gets nominated, right? is that how that works?
I put him over the edge given his schedule right now.
All right, we'll take a look at that next month. Okay. Thank Tammy. Vina GSA, anything on that?
Tomorrow night's the board meeting, and the board will now be meeting monthly. And then the SHAC meeting is scheduled, I think, next week. So, and those will be monthly now.
Okay.
And it's all Zoom, so you guys can participate with the board via Zoom. And there's, I don't know, Matt, you're the alternate, so there was an agenda item, and I'll be helping them with the Zoom.
Okay.
I don't know if you recall, because last month the WebEx kind of wasn't functioning well.
Yeah, I recall. Okay, sounds good. Item 12, director's comments. Raymond, you got anything to say to the board?
No, I don't.
Okay. I don't have anything either. Jeff, you've requested a closed session item.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Patrick, you have an ending comment for all of us?
Yes. This meeting that you're closed session meeting, I like just to run this by you. Every item to be addressed at a meeting must be given a brief general description on the posted agenda. This includes closed sessions. Okay, this is the law, right?
Doesn't it say, or doesn't, have you looked at your agenda? Doesn't it say it on there?
I don't see it. What is the purpose of the closed session?
Let me read to you, Pat. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Friends C, N, Conference of Legal Counsel, dash, and Initiation of Litigation, colon, one case. That is a safe harbor that's allowed under the Brown Act.
The Act also requires that most, if not all, the actions taken by the body in a closed session be disclosed afterwards.
Open session on the agenda, you'll see a listing for open session afterwards so we can report out what, if any, action is taken in closed session.
So are you at this time going to tell me what this is about?
I just told you.
It's about litigation.
And initiation of litigation, one case. That is all that is required under the Brown Act to be listed on the agenda. That is a safe harbor.
So later on, I'll be acting on this.
Yeah, if you want to stick around, or I could email you tomorrow morning and tell you what action, if anything, was taken.
All right, I appreciate that.
I think what we'll do is we'll move to closed session. I would put you, Pat, if you're wanting, into a waiting room, or right. And then when we open it back up, we can let you back in. Or if you,
I'd rather just disconnect. I don't.
I'll drop you an email in the morning with whatever I report to the board in open session tonight.
Okay, that's acceptable. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thanks, Pat.
All right, just us?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on, let me...
double check.
I don't show anything on my side.